This week, I'm going to be talking about being made new, and we're in this series in Ephesians, and it's a really powerful book. I've read the book of Ephesians a few times, but never as slowly and worked through it as slowly as we are right now, and there's just some really life-changing stuff in here. So if this last song that we were singing, like, you know, resonated with your heart, where you're like thinking, man, God is my firm foundation, or maybe you were listening to that song thinking, not sure I even have a firm foundation. You know, maybe when tragedy happens in your life or horrible things go on, it really throws you for a loop. Like maybe it really shakes you up. And you're thinking, well, what does it mean to even have a firm foundation? Well, Paul talks about that in the book of Ephesians. And it's incredible. When you get to this point in your relationship with God where you just know he is who he says he is, he's on your side, that he loves you, you can face anything. You can face any difficulty. You can face any challenge because there's hope that God really is on the throne, that God really is in charge, that he's all powerful. So I'm going to pray and we're going to jump into that passage this morning. And I'm just going to pray that God speaks as we open his word. Lord, I just want to thank you for this day and just ask that you would speak to us through your word this morning. God, we just want to hear your voice. We want to hear what you have to say. And so would you speak to us this morning? And as we read your word, Lord, would you just highlight some things that are in this passage that, Lord, I as a speaker don't know all of the things that people are going through here, but you do. And so as we read your word, I just pray that you would speak specifically into our situations. And Lord, that we would experience your hope, not just as an idea, but as a reality in our lives. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians is this powerful book. In this section, so I'm going to be reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 5, verse 2. The challenge with like working through a text like this is it's broken up, and maybe you already know this, but when you open up a Bible to read, there's like chapters and verses, right? And there's like little headings that tell you what that section is about. Well, in the original form that Ephesians was delivered in, there was no chapters and verses or headings. It was a letter, right? So if I was to write a letter to you here at Thunder Bay Transformation Church, like I would just write a straight on letter, right? That wouldn't be broken up. And that's the way Paul wrote this. And so it's this one letter. So sometimes it's hard to really be able to break it up. And so that's why I stopped at 5 verse 2, because that was kind of the finishing of this certain thought. And then next time we can jump into the next section. But it's really, in this section, Paul is talking about this concept of being made new. And I don't know about you, but I have this desire to become more made new. Last week, and most of you know, I was away last week. I was in Moncton, and so my dad started this ministry, Harvest House, and it's incredible what they do. And he's got this radical story of like, you know, all this time he spent in prison, all these bad things he did, and Jesus just transformed his life. And so growing up for me, I've had this like desire to know God, but I've almost been jealous sometimes of people who have these crazy stories because I'm like, man, they just seem to get it more. Like maybe if I had this life that so-and-so had and then experienced God, like it would just become more real to me. And that was sometimes my struggle growing up because I grew up at a place, and I tell people a lot, like I actually grew up at a homeless shelter and a drug recovery center. Like that was my context. These were a lot of the friends that I made and spent time with. And so I saw people that had such a radical transformation in their life from one extreme to the next. But as I study God's word and as I get closer to Jesus, like I'm realizing that every single one of us needs a radical transformational work in our lives. And so it's easy, and the world does this, right? Society does this. Society looks at certain actions and says, well, these are really bad, and then these are okay, right? And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that people that on the outside look like things are completely together sometimes battle with things like depression and anxiety and fear more, even more than people whose lives seem like they're crazy out of control. And there's been some really dark moments in my life, and I've talked to Vicky about this quite a bit, because I've looked back at my life and like wondered, like, why am I still following Jesus? Like, my childhood was not perfect. You know, I come from a good family. My sister's here, so I got to tell one story. So like, it's a miracle that we're in the same room. No, I'm joking. But like, I just remember I was thinking about this message and her being here this morning. And I was thinking about when we were younger, my dad, he had completely lost contact with his mom because she fled the country. And if you're here for his testimony, you remember she actually fled to California. And so my dad didn't even know his mom when he first married my mom and raised us as kids. And when we were young, they found each other online. And then he found out she was in California and decided to take this trip. Well, we traveled from New Brunswick all the way to Arizona in a two-door Mustang. It was like an 88 Mustang. And it was like a hatchback, right? So it was this really tiny car. And then we got to Kansas and the air conditioning broke. And it was middle of the summer. Like, it was brutal, right? And my sister, Alicia, who's like between us two, like she's this peacemaker personality. And so she's just really kind and amicable and just a really nice person. Kayla and I have these really strong personalities where it was like super intense. And we would fight so much that like my parents would put my sister in between us two. And I was like, the poor like nice child has to go between these two like raging lunatics at times. We would get so mad. I remember sometimes like I would be so mad, but I couldn't like hit her because you can't hit your sister, right? You'd be in a lot of trouble, especially my dad would not go for that. And so I would get so mad that sometimes I would just cry because I was like, I can't express how mad I am right now. And so God has done this transforming work. She's here with her son and we're all hanging out and we love each other, right? And I was thinking about transformation, this process that God does in our lives. And sometimes it's over the course of many years. Like God does this work inside of us and it's this lifelong process that he does it in. And this might be a refresher to you, but we went with the name Transformation Church because transformation is what we believe God wants to do in every person, but also in every community and city. And the word transformation, I love this. It's only used four times in the New Testament. And every time the word transformation is used, it's used in the passive sense. So what that means is you can't cause transformation in your own life. So when you think about this concept, transformation, every major kind of thought process and ideology centers around this idea that like we have enough willpower in our own lives to change ourselves. And there's a lot of things we can do to bring positive change to our lives, right? You can make incredibly difficult decisions over a long period of time and cause certain changes to happen. But the type of change that God is talking about in his word with transformation, being made new, which is what we're going to talk about today, is something that only God can do in your life. So this word transformation, the significance of the fact that it's only used in the passive sense means you can receive God. Like you can allow him into your life and allow him to bring change and transformation. He'll do the work. There's a part you and I get to play. There's a part you and I get to play as far as us being willing and receiving him and allowing his work in our life. But the real transformation, the real change, the significant change takes place because of God's involvement in our life. Like he is the one who causes change. We just receive him, the perfect one. We receive his word. We receive his life. And so I want to talk this morning about being made new because Paul talks about it in this chapter. And I'm going to read it from the screen. If you have a Bible, you can follow along or if you want to follow along on the screen. And it's powerful stuff. So just listen to this. And I encourage you, even as you're reading this, just to read it prayerfully and just say, Lord, if you want to speak something to me, I want to hear it. And one of the things that we talked about this at our life group this week, there's like a bajillion different opinions in this world when it comes to things like scripture, ways of worshiping God, ways of doing things. And I would encourage you, even as a pastor, to take what scripture says seriously and not so much what other people say about it. And I encourage people with that as a pastor. Like, I don't want to be responsible for communicating my opinion, my idea, that's not in line with what God has revealed to us as his truth. So this is like the foundation where God speaks to us and shows us things from his word. But people have done a lot of damage by forcing their own way of thinking on things. And so I would encourage you, even when you're listening to me and other preachers, like listen to what scripture's saying and like and just you know ask the question, is this in line with what God has revealed? Because that's huge. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And we're going to talk about specifically that. So Paul here, when he's writing to this church in Ephesus, he's saying the thing that is causing the Gentiles to be separated from God is the hardening of their hearts. And that's what I want to focus on today and ask the question, like, are you guilty of hardening your heart in any way? Is there areas of your life where you've hardened your heart, and is that what's causing this separation from God? Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And that's kind of the focus. And so he's saying, you were taught, like when you were taught about the things of Jesus, you were taught to be made new in the attitude of your minds. So our attitude, what goes on inside of our mind and our heart, really directs our life, right? And if you think about that long enough, you realize like people that, you know, are doing well and are successful, there's this mindset, there's this attitude of things that have shifted in their thinking. It's funny, this is like a silly illustration, but our son Malachi, Vicky was cutting his hair last night, and his hair naturally, and if you notice, Malachi's really particular with his hair, and he gets a lot of attention for it. And his hair goes like a certain way, right? But he's got this like, he wants his hair to go the other way. And so she was cutting his hair last night, and he's like, I want it to kind of lay down on the other side. And she's like, well, that's just not the way your hair naturally goes. And he's like, my hair is not in control of me. I'm in control of my hair. And I was like, man, what a profound thought, right? But like his inner thinking was saying like, no, I won't let my hair dictate to me the way it's going to go. Like, so that changed the way that he was like going to go. And we do that in our lives in a lot of things, right? Like we can let certain mindsets guide us and direct us down certain paths that can be sometimes destructive. But when Paul's talking about here, he's saying like to be made new in the attitude of your mind, you know, you might face some situation that now as a follower of Christ and as somebody who's fully committed yourself to him, the whole attitude of your mind has shifted. And you make a decision that before you would have went a different direction, but you're like, no, I won't let this dictate the course of my life. Like I will not let this bring me to a place of anxiety or bring me to a place of fear, or I won't be defeated, right? Because the attitude of your mind has shifted. It's gone in a different direction because of the work of Christ in your life. It's powerful. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Like God created us to be like him in true righteousness and holiness. Not just fake put on righteousness where we have to wear some kind of a mask, but where God has done this transforming work in us and it just comes out of who we are. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. That's a really difficult verse to live by when you're married, by the way. Literally, there's been times where like Vicky and I will get into an argument and the sun's already gone down. And I'm like, well, at least I'm good till tomorrow until the sun goes down. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. Can you imagine getting to the point where like God has done such a transforming work in your life that everything you say is an encouragement to those around you? And when I look back at my life, there's a lot of times I've said things that did not build up the people around me, or it was not wholesome. It was not encouraging to those people. But when God completes this work that he's doing, and he is doing a work in you, if you feel discouraged this morning, I want to encourage you, if you've put your trust in Jesus, he's at work in your life. And as long as you're willing to yield to that and surrender to it, he is going to work towards completion in your life to the point where the things that come out of your mouth build up and encourage those around you. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And so, in this in this passage, and I put this up on the... Oh, actually, just a second, sorry. I forgot to read the last part of it. Follow God's example. This is really important. Glad I didn't forget it. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so we're going to get to the to this verse at the end, because as God does this work in us, you'll notice that Paul, he does some like black and white language here, where he says, don't be like those people. Don't be like the Gentiles, which sometimes can be dangerous thinking if you think, I'm not one of those people, right? But what Paul is doing, and we'll close with this, I want to bring it back to this, but Paul is showing us that like the attitude that God puts in you when you're changed and transformed, and you look at people who are different or haven't yet experienced that, your attitude is not one of condescension or superiority, because that's so unChristlike. And I just want to say, if you've encountered that in the church, where people who are holy or righteous kind of look down on others, like that is so far from the attitude of Christ. And Paul ends this section by saying this. So he's saying, yes, don't be like the Gentiles. And Gentiles just comes from the word ethnos, which means anybody who's not Jewish. So he's saying, don't be like the people that are not following Christ. But then he ends this section by talking about this love of Jesus, where he willingly laid down his life. So when we are completely and totally transformed by God, our attitude towards people who are different from us isn't an attitude of pride or superiority. And when you encounter that, just know that is not a Christ-like attitude at all. And one of the things that I wrestle with as a pastor is I've seen how the church has caused a lot of hurt to people with this attitude of superiority, looking down on other people. And what Paul is saying is, no, this message of the gospel, this message of change and transformation doesn't make us superior looking down on others. It makes us grateful that God has done this work in our heart. And it makes us like so desirous of seeing other people experience it that we're like, Lord, just bring change to people who haven't yet experienced it. Even to people that treat us horribly. Even when people treat us in a way that just makes us want to react in anger, God fills us with this love and his grace and his compassion towards others. And so that's really important. And so Paul is saying in this section that there's two kinds of people. Don't be like them, right? And so he's talking about Christians, non-Christians, and he uses the word Jews and Gentiles. And again, when Paul uses the word Gentiles in the book of Ephesians, he's just talking about anybody who's not Jewish, right? And so the message of the gospel opened up the door for everybody in the whole world to hear about Jesus and hear about the freedom that they could have because of his sacrifice. And so, but Paul, what he's saying is that before you knew Christ, you were separated from God. And the words he uses in verse 18, he says that the Gentiles, so, and it's funny to think about someone who's not following Jesus, somebody who's not a follower of Christ. He says that they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That's in verse 18. And so I've often thought about this, like, what is it, like, what makes a person so bad if they're not a Christian? Because it's a tough question, right? And it's one that gets asked a lot in the media. You know, if you see Christians that are put on a television show and people are asking them tough questions, like, one of the questions is like, well, why does God, you know, let people go to hell? Or why is it that Christians are the only ones that get to go to heaven? Like, what is that? And it's like people are trying to kind of push on God this judgment. Like, why is he so judgmental? And our culture really struggles with that. And Paul, in this passage, he actually gives a clue to one of the things that causes us to be separate from God. And he says it's the hardening of hearts. So he says that people that don't know Jesus, that are separated from God, the reason that they're separated from God is because the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So when our hearts get hardened, we're separated from God. And so I just want you to imagine when you were 5, 6, 7 years old and people said, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was it that you wanted to be? You don't have to say it out loud, but just think about it. We We've been praying a lot here at this church for people that work as police officers, as paramedics, as emergency room responders in the hospital. Like, they get overwhelmed with people there on a regular basis. And I've talked in the past about the, like, 200 plus calls every day that the police officers get in Thunder Bay, right? So when kids that are young say, "Well, I grew up, I want to be a police officer," there's this purity in their heart, right? They're like, they want to be a police officer because they just want to help people. Or they want to be a doctor because they just love to help. Lucy loves, she's got this little Doc McStuffins kit that she goes around with, and she'll, like, fix, if you're ever over at her house sometime and you just tell her you got, like, a hurt leg, she'll, like, have her little Doc McStuffins kit and she'll come over and, like, fix you, right? It's really cute. But there's this innocence in children, this purity that children have, that the reason they want to do the things that they want to do is because they just want to help. But then if you look at the progression in our lives, wouldn't you agree that most people grow cynical and jaded and bitter, right? So, and it's always surprising to me to read about somebody that's in some kind of a high position of authority, maybe some politician or head of a police department or head of whatever, that is caught up with, like, embezzlement or fraud or just doing something. Because, like, sometimes I think, well, when they were 7 years old, was that their plan? Like, did they go become a police officer so that someday they'd have a higher position in the city and get into this so they could steal money from people? Like, is that what was in their hearts? Right? People that get caught up in that stuff, they start out the same way the rest of us start out, with this innocence, with this desire to do something good, but they grow bitter and jaded. And Paul, he gives us this key here that the hardening of our hearts is what separates us from God. So when you face difficulties in your life and challenges, you have a choice. You can let that bitterness and anger fester in your heart, which causes you to grow cynical and bitter. Paul talks, he's got this list, and I'll put it up later, so there's, like, cynicism and bitter and malice and rage and anger. You can let these things grow in your heart, which hardens your heart, separates you from God, and even causes an ignorance between you and God. But if you're soft-hearted and you're like, okay, God, I'm gonna let you do your work in my life, then when you're tempted to be angry and filled with bitterness and malice, God reveals to us in his word how we're supposed to respond. But it's not easy to do that. And that's why I say, we're talking this morning about being made new, about this transforming work God does in us. The work of transformation we can't do on our own, but we do have a part to play. There's this response that we give to God. So when you're tempted to give in to just this anger, this malice, this bitterness, and then you encounter something in God's word that shows you, this is how I want you to respond, we're left with this choice. Do we say yes to him? Do we respond the way he wants? Or do we just let this bitterness, anger fester in our hearts? Because when we do, our hearts grow hard, and then we're ignorant of the things of God. Some of the people that I look up to more than anybody else in the world, one of my mentors, he's 75 years old now, and he traveled with me for 10 years doing outreach ministry. And one of the things that, like, I'm so drawn to with this guy is he's 75. He's lived this big life. But the older he gets, like, it's like he gets more simple. Like, there's more joy in his heart. It's like almost becoming more like a child, not more like a child in the way that he's starting to lose his functioning ability, but more like a child just in the sense that, like, he's trusting God even more, right? He's not giving in to this cynicism. His heart isn't growing hard because he's responding to the things God is saying. And I'm like, God, I want that. He hasn't faced less difficulty than you and I. He's had many opportunities to let his heart grow hard. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, and I drew the comparison earlier about testimonies like my dad's, where there's been times in my life where I was tempted. I wish I had this more extreme experience where I just came into a realization of who God was and it was extreme and maybe it would just be more real to me. Like, I've realized that, like, I've had just as many opportunities in my life to grow really bitter. I think back to some of the dark seasons that I've gone through, and it's only by the grace of God that I've continued to trust him. But there's this part that he asks us to play. There's times where I had to willfully make a decision to trust God and not give in to bitterness, not give in to cynicism. Because I was like, no, I'm gonna trust what he says, that what he says is gonna be better in the end. but he leaves that choice. There's this part you and I have to play where we get to respond to his message. And he does the big heavy lifting. He does all the work in our heart to completely change us and transform us. And before I move on to the next section, this is really powerful, but I was reading a commentator that was talking about the verse afterwards. In verse 19, Paul is describing what goes on in people's hearts that are hard. He says, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. So when you give into this hardness of heart, it's easy to give into things like sexual perversion and greed because your heart longs for an outlet. And one of the commentators I read, he drew this, he said, in a society that moves further and further away from God, there's a lot more sexual perversion. Because we were created for intimacy. Like, we were created to have this intimate relationship with God and with each other. And when we let our hearts grow hard, when we give into bitterness and cynicism and anger and rage, we not only separate from God, but we separate from each other. But there's this longing for intimacy, right? And so because of this longing for intimacy, we give into things like sexual perversion. We give into things like greed. And then we get to the point in our life where we're 55, 60 years old, and we look back and we're like, how did I ever get here? Because when I was like 6 or 7, I just wanted to help the world become a better place. And Paul is saying it's the hardness of our hearts. It's when we give in to just letting these things fester over the course of many years. So there's this transformation work that's possible where we can become transformed, become more like God, where we trust him and give in to him, or we can become transformed into a harder, more cynical, angry person if we don't allow God's work to take place in our hearts. It's a dangerous thing. And so Paul is like really speaking into this. And so on this next, having said that, he says, I'm going to leave that up there, and I'm going to read. In the next section, in verse 20 through 31, he says that, and just, you can, it's not going to be up on the screen because I messed up the slides. That's okay. He says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ, and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness. And then Paul goes into this language of like telling us what to get rid of in our lives, the things that cause this bitterness and cause this cynicism. And I just want to put it up here on the screen. So he says in this passage that it grieves the Holy Spirit when we give into things like lying, rage, brawling, malice, bitterness, anger, and slander. And I was looking through this list. And so Paul, it's interesting because he's talking here about sin. He's talking about things that separate us from God, but he doesn't have the same list as what sometimes churches come up with when we talk about sin. Sometimes when the church talks about sin, we like to talk about things that we don't struggle with ourselves. It's a lot easier to point the finger than to point the finger at yourself, right? Like, so much easier. But when you read scripture, you come to realize like God is talking about there's some things that I can allow into my heart that causes me to just, my heart grows hard and I'm separated from God. And you think about things like bitterness, anger, malice. Malice is when you plan things in your mind that you'd like to see happen to people that make you angry. Have you ever done that? Like, honestly, and I like being vulnerable because I think we're supposed to be vulnerable in church. I read stuff like that and I think about times in my life. There's people that I've been so angry at that I have thought, like, I've created scenarios in my mind where I get to humiliate them the way they humiliated me. Like, I've literally like pictured it. There's this one time I was, it was my first like real job when I was married. I worked in an office and this guy, my boss, he came out and he just belittled me like in front of people. And I just felt like this big. I was so, and it was for something that I didn't even do, right? And so I went and sat at my desk and I was just fuming. And I was just picturing in my mind how I could do the same back to him. Because I was like, I just want to make him feel the way that I felt, right? Like I did. That was just what was going on in my heart. And my desk, like I had a direct line of sight to his office and his door was open and I could see him in there. And look, the more, you ever have somebody that you're really mad at and just the sight of them makes you even more angry? Like you see them and you're like, oh. Or like maybe there's somebody, you meet somebody and for some reason you just don't like them and you don't know why. It's probably because they remind you of that person that it makes you angry, right? Well, I was just like seeing, but then God started speaking to me and convicting me and was like, you need to go and make things right with this guy, which I didn't want to hear because honestly, I just wanted to sit there and stew in my bitterness because like it's just easier sometimes to stew in your own bitterness, right? And so I just wanted to sit there and be angry, but I had this really strong sense from God that I was supposed to go face this guy. And so I remember going into his office and having this conversation with him, and it was really awkward because people in this office place didn't do stuff like that. Like it wasn't something that you would go do, like just go face, you know, somebody and tell them why they made you angry and all that. But when I did, something broke in my spirit and in his. I think he thought I was just like off my rocker a little bit. He was like, you are weird. But something broke in my spirit, and I just didn't have this anger in my heart towards him anymore. It was gone. God took it. I believe with all my heart, if I was to give in to that anger and give in to that bitterness, then it would harden my heart and I would be separated from God more and more. And the next time somebody made me angry, I would stew on that. I would let it simmer and it would just grow and it would become this thing inside of me that caused my heart to be hard and I'd be separated from God, wondering why can't I connect with God? Why can't I, you know, connect with his presence? When God has made it so clear in his word, don't allow those kinds of things in your life. And I just want to ask you this week, as we talk about this, is God bringing someone to mind that maybe you need to face things with? There's people that maybe you've got to face things with and it's not even possible to have a conversation with them, but there's some things that you've allowed to fester in your mind and heart that you need to face head on. I promise you, God wants to give healing to you in your life. God wants to be in this intimate relationship with you. He wants to bring reconciliation to your heart and your life. But he's invited us to be a part of the process. He'll do the heavy lifting. He'll transform your heart. All he asks for you to do is to be willing to take that step of obedience. And so in my story, like I just know what he was asking of me was to take that step and to go and have that awkward conversation and to make things right. But he's the one who's taking the bitterness out of my heart. He's the one that's making me more like him, and I'm trusting him to do that, right? And so when you think through these kinds of things, I want to ask you, are you willing to do the thing God is asking you to do? And so, and the language he uses here, and I encourage you, go read this section again after today. But the language he uses here, he says like, put off this old nature and put on the new one. And whenever I remember years ago, it was probably like 7 or 8 years ago when I was reading through this passage, and I had this mental picture of a jacket, right? So like, this is Lucy's jacket. So Paul is saying like, okay, there's this old way of life. There's this old way of doing things that you've been wearing for your whole life, okay? And it doesn't even fit well and it looks bad, okay? So he's saying like, you've got this old way of doing things, this old like, you could, you know, giving into bitterness and rage and malice and anger, whatever, right? He's saying like, put that off, right? And then put on this new attitude of Christ. And I had this image of like, that's what he's asked. Like our involvement is just to be obedient to him. So when we see the things that he's talking about here and we're tempted to give into them, what he's saying, he's drawing this dichotomy. He's drawing this like black and white separation. He's saying, don't be like that. Don't be like the Gentiles. Don't be like the people that don't know Christ. Like put that thing off, like take off that old jacket, take off that old way of thinking and put on Christ. And so when you're tempted to give into an old way of thinking that's going to lead you to a place where your heart becomes hard and you're separated from God, put it off and put on this new attitude of saying, yes, Lord, whatever you make clear to me, I'll do. And I encourage you to take a step with that, like an actual physical step. Like if God's making something clear to you, do something about it. Because that, I believe, it just shows our trust for him. There's been a lot of times in my life where God, I'll get convicted about something and I get convicted with this thought. Sometimes I think I like the idea of Christianity more than actually living it. You know what I mean by that? Like sometimes I like the idea of being close to Jesus. I like the idea of transformation. I like the idea of all those things. I like to talk about it. I like getting people excited about it. But then when God convicts me to actually do something that's gonna be difficult or maybe embarrassing, it's really challenging. And that's a really convicting thought for me, because I'm like, I don't want to be someone who just likes the idea of it or who can just talk good about it, because what good does that do if I'm not actually willing to live it, right? And so when I was at Harvest House last week to MC at this gala, I opened with the famous passage in Corinthians where it talks about love is love suffers long, bears with one another, believes one another. It's this really famous verse that gets read at weddings a lot. But God, I just had this thought about how, like, these are just words unless they're lived out. Like, you can say all these nice things, but unless they're actually lived out, like, unless skin gets put on them, they mean nothing. And so when you think about these kinds of things, when you think about the things that harden your heart, it doesn't do any good for us to all agree that this is what Scripture teaches. You know, if we all agree, yes, God wants us to forgive. He wants us to show grace. He wants us to have those difficult conversations. If we all agree, that doesn't make a difference unless we actually take the steps to doing it. And it's challenging. And I just, before I go further, just let you know, like, it's not easier for me than it is for anyone else. Like, that's one of the biggest lies, I think, of Christianity, is that we look at certain people and think, oh, it must be easy for them to have faith, or it must be easy for them to go and do that. It's not. God is fair, and he's given each of us an opportunity to respond to him. And I would encourage you, if he's making something clear to you, just respond and say, God, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to take this step. And he'll lead you in next steps. And the last section, it might be, I might not have messed this part up. We'll see. Yeah, good. Okay, so he says here, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And so I said earlier, I want to finish with this, that as Jesus brings change and transformation to our hearts, our attitude towards other people has to be the same attitude that Jesus showed when he came here. And in the last, like, probably year, I've just been grieved at some of the things that have been done in the name of the church that have been oppressive and judgmental and condescending. And when I read the teachings of Scripture on our attitudes as Christians, I'm always convicted that when we look at the world, and we should be, if you're a follower of Jesus today, we should be separate as far as how we live from the world, but not separate in a way of, like, superiority. So as an example, I went to a movie, I don't know, it was a few months ago, and it was a popular movie. And you know how when you go to the theater and it's a really popular movie, you want to get there early because you don't want to sit in the front row? Well, I got there, it was probably like 15, 20 minutes early. So I got, like, the middle, like, at the back, and it was really great. So I was sitting there, and it was just, like, awesome. And there was this, like, superiority because I was sitting there, and I watched people coming in. Like, when the movie got close to getting ready to start, all of the seats were taken. And so people were coming in, and they would look, like, up, and there was no seats left, and then they would, like, be all discouraged, and they'd have to go to the front. And I just remember sitting there being like, should have got here early. Like, I got a good seat, right? And I just had this, like, and honestly, and then I got fun, and I was, like, watching the, like, the look on people's faces because they'd come in, like, all happy with their popcorn, right? And they're just like, and then they would, like, step back and, like, talk to their partner, and then they would look again, and, like, and then they'd go to the front, and, like, it just got to this point where I was like, but I was getting ready for this message, and I'm like, that's silly or whatever. But in Christianity, sometimes it's the same thing, because we have this attitude of, like, well, Jesus came into my life, and I've done this work, and you should too, and it's kind of this attitude of superiority. And Paul is saying here, he's like, you can't have that attitude as a Christian. Like, you've got to be willing to lay down your life for other people, because when we're saved by God, it's not because of our work. He invites us. There's a role to play. We get to say yes to him. We get to respond to the things he's doing. But the heavy lifting, the hard work of salvation is something that only God can do. And what it does, if we really understand the gospel, it makes us so grateful for what God has done in our heart. And we just long for other people to experience it. And so as a Christian, when we say, I'm going to be separate from the world, I'm not going to do the things that they do, we don't have this attitude of, like, looking down on them or finger pointing. We just have this attitude of, like, I just love what God has done in my heart so much, and I want to be like him, and I desire for other people to know him. And so there's two things today, and I'm going to get the band to come up. We're going to close with a song. But I was thinking about this message and thinking, maybe there's people here today that you've not surrendered your life to Jesus. And by surrendered your life to Jesus, I don't mean just saying words or saying a prayer, but where you're listening and going, I don't respond in obedience to him. I haven't turned away from the things that cause my heart to grow hard. And if that's you today, if you're like, I haven't received Christ. I haven't put my faith in his death and resurrection. I haven't asked him to come into my life. I want to encourage you, today is the day to do that. And while we're singing the song, if you want to come to the altar and pray, I'd love to pray with you. And there's a couple of us here that would love to pray. And the second group, maybe you're here and you've had this attitude of superiority over people. And you're realizing, God, my heart towards others isn't a heart that's filled with love. And I would encourage you, if that's you, just tell them that. And ask God to put in you a heart that's like his, that loves others. And just confess that to him. That's something that I believe we're supposed to do on a regular and even daily basis. And so maybe you're in one of those two camps. Maybe today you're like, I'm going to surrender my life to Christ. I'm going to live in obedience to him. I'm going to receive what he's done for me, and I'm going to respond in how I live my life. And again, if that's you, I just encourage you to come out and pray. And if you're in the other camp, I just encourage you just to pray and like ask God to just give you a heart that's filled with love for other people. Jesus willingly laid down his life for us when he could have just been judgmental and condescending, but he gave himself up for us. And that's the attitude he wants us to have for other people. So I'm going to pray, and we can stand and sing this last song. Lord, I just want to thank you for this awesome word from Ephesians, and I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring conviction to our hearts. Lord, if there's people here that are listening going, I know that I'm giving in to some of these attitudes that are hard in my heart, I pray that you'd give boldness to turn away from those things and to embrace you, Jesus. And Lord, for those of us that are tempted to sometimes just be superior in the way we look at other people, I pray that you would convict our hearts, God. That, Lord, we would just have the kind of love inside of our hearts that you have for others. Thank you for your presence that's here this morning. We welcome you. And we just pray, Lord, bless our time as we fellowship downstairs after the service, and just bless all the conversations. And we welcome you into those as well, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing this last song.